We're reading verses 1 to 11, Psalm 37. At the top of the psalm, I have this little piece of writing. The printers are very good. They give us all sorts of clues. And the printers have put in this one, security of those who trust in the Lord and insecurity of the wicked. So David says, do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious towards wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he will do it. And he will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil doing, for evil doers will be cut off. But those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Yet a little while and the wicked man will be no more, and you will look carefully for his place, and he will not be there. But the humble will inherit the land, and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy and inspired word.
I am indeed grateful for the opportunity of being able to give the Lord's message this morning. And I do thank our church secretary for his word of welcome. I also appreciate the fellowship which I have enjoyed with our brother Paul Tonnelly, and also for his cooperation in the leading of this service. And I do trust, as we consider the Word of God together, that the Spirit of God will enlighten our understanding and give us a strong inclination within our hearts to serve the Lord Jesus Christ during this coming week. Now, I remember reading in the Word of God about Laban, and Jacob wanted to leave him. But Laban said, I have learned by experience. What did he learn? That he had been blessed by God because of the presence of Jacob. I have learned by experience. That's a wonderful saying. And I have proved that along my Christian pathway. Those words bring a challenge to the heart. And I know this, that the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, without me ye can do nothing. That clearly shows that we are absolutely helpless in presenting the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ without the help of the Holy Spirit. So I do trust that this morning the Spirit will guide us and lead us so that we may have our affection warmed, so that we might be able to serve the Lord Christ in all our ways. Now, it is indeed a wonderful privilege to be able to speak of the Word of God. The Word of God, which is indeed unchangeable, because the Bible tells us, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken away from it. Oh, how wonderful is this book at our disposal. A competent authority which never changes. And so, my friends, you can rest on the word of God. You know, I meet so many Christians who are downcast. Perhaps one day they're on the mountaintop of some rich spiritual experience. A And the next day, they are down in the depths. They're overcome by frustration. Now, I can assure you from the Word of God, this is not his desire for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. The New Testament language is more than conqueror through him that loved us and gave himself for us. And Peter, in concluding his second epistle, he says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Progress is brought out there, so it is God's will that we should progress in the divine life, instead of experiencing the life of fluctuation in divine things. And so, my friends, God would encourage us this morning. You know, when my wife and I were traveling in country centers conducting children's missions and adult missions as well, sometimes we were all glad to see a signpost, because then we would know whether we were going in the right direction. But some of those old country signposts, they were weather-beaten, and the wooden boards carrying the name would loosen. And, of course, the boys would come from town, they drove along the road, and some quick-eyed individual would say, look, Tom, the boards are loose up there, what about it? Let's change them. And so they'd take one board out of this side and put it over onto this side, take this board and put it on that side. Of course, you can see the result would be confusion when the traveler came along. But isn't it good to know that God has given unto us signposts of encouragement in his word that can never, never be altered. And in that psalm, Psalm 37, we have four distinct signposts of encouragement. And I want to speak to them about them to you, so that you may receive that help which I have received as I have studied this passage of Scripture. The first one is, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now, when we take the literal interpretation of this verse, the Spirit of God is referring to the land of Israel with all its wonderful joy, with all its wonderful provision. And the people of Israel would have enjoyed that land if they had only obeyed God. In other words, it was to be the place of satisfaction for them. But you see, today, our satisfaction is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's only as we obey him that we can endure as seeing him who is invisible. Trust in the Lord. Oh, how many of God's dear people are menaced by their feelings. Sometimes we hear them saying, I don't feel that I am saved. I don't feel that I am a Christian. I don't feel that I am sanctified. I don't feel that I am advancing in the Christian life. My dear friends, feelings can never give you the assurance that you need. We must come to the Word, because it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Dr. Torrey, who was an outstanding teacher of the Word of God and also a wonderful evangelist, came to Australia at the beginning of this century. And he related how in his younger Christian days he prayed to God that he might have more faith. He prayed day after day, but no answer seemed to come his way. But one morning he was reading in the 10th chapter of Romans. He came to verse 17, where it says, now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Immediately, he rose like some triumphant warrior. He said, I see it now. If I want more faith, I must read the book. I must hide it within my heart so that I might become strong in that faith and do exploits for God. Yes, my friend, the Word of God gives you the assurance. I could never feel that Christ died for my sins. It's an impossibility. Neither could you. I know it is true because God has given unto us the record in his book. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, my friend, this is why we're yet sinners. Christ died for us. And that's how I know that Jesus Christ has saved me, because the book tells me. Why, our little Sunday school hymn is really wonderful in its truth. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. So, my friend, I wonder if you're treading the pathway of faith. I wonder if you're looking to yourself. You're indulging in introspection to find out whether you're saved, whether you're sanctified, and so on. My friend, turn to the Word of God. He does not make my soul to say, thank God I feel so good, but turns the eye another way to Jesus and his blood. Yes, my friend, it's Christ and Christ alone who can save. And it doesn't matter how your circumstances may react in your life, one thing is sure, the Word of God remains unchanged. And it's far better to trust in the Lord and believe what he has spoken concerning his way of salvation. So that first signpost of encouragement should give us heart to turn to the Word and learn to walk by faith and not by sight. Now, the second signpost of encouragement is delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Why should we delight in the Lord? Do you know there's not one person here this morning, including the speaker, that would not have been in the awful place called hell if it had not been for the grace of God. My friend, God in his wonderful grace stepped in and provided the way of salvation, because every one of us was born in sin. The psalmist said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Before ever we commenced our career on this earth, sin was within us. This body of sin which causes so much trouble. Did not the Lord Jesus say to the Pharisees and others in his day, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. And he said, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. And so, my friends, what hope had we of ever finding peace with God? None whatsoever. If God had not intervened the riches of his grace, we would have been in hell forever, and we would have been tormented. Oh, my dear friend, we've got a lot to thank God for. We can delight in him because of that. And then we must remember, too, that we can delight in the Lord because he has given us of his Holy Spirit. Oh, what a wonderful person resides within us. Paul could say to the Corinthians, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The third person of the Trinity within us. Have you ever thought of that? Do you know when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? The Spirit of God takes up His abode in your heart. And because of that, He is able to magnify Christ in your life. I wonder if you know that you have received the Spirit of God. I do not believe in the pilgrimage for the second blessing. I'll tell you why. Because when I was saved, when I accepted Christ as my Savior, God said He'd accepted me in the Beloved. And in Him we have all blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Can you go any higher than Jesus Christ? I ask you. If you receive Christ as your Savior, you've got the one who can bless you all the way through along your pathway of life. Oh, my dear friends, the Spirit of God is within us, a gift from God that we might understand the Word of God and that we might be able to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God also leads us to call God our Father. Isn't that wonderful? Just to know He's our Father. At one time, we were afraid. We have looked at Him as the Almighty God, the one who was full of wrath and judgment. But when we came to Christ, then we found in Him the love that surpasses everything else. Oh, it's good to know that God is our Heavenly Father, so we can delight in Him. Not only because the Christ has died for us, we can also delight in Him because the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And He is able to keep us in the right way of truth and of soberness. And then we must remember, too, that we are called upon to witness. And this is a delight for the name of Christ. Oh, it's wonderful to be able to open the mouth and tell others of Jesus Christ as your Savior. I wonder, do you do this? I wonder, do you take notice of this signpost of encouragement, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And I can assure you of this, as you walk with the Lord, you'll only ask for the things that minister virtue and praise in your life. Because the Lord wants us to be gracious. He wants us to move around on the face of this earth, being a definite witness for Him, showing forth the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in every way possible. Because people around are watching you. You say that you're a Christian. They will watch what you do. They listen to what you say. And so it's very important that we should walk with the Lord and honor His wonderful name before the people of this world. So that's our second signpost of encouragement. Delight thyself in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And as you go forward with the joy of the Lord in your heart, others are going to be attracted to the Savior. Then our third signpost of encouragement is, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. You know, we get into a lot of trouble here, do we not? There are people who plan and scheme to go their own way. They never bring their problems to the Lord. And they get into trouble and wonder why. Because they have not committed their way unto the Lord. I remember when I was a lad, I used to have the clay pipe and a bowl of soapy water. And I'd give the puff through the pipe, and there I would see the bubbles arise in the glory of all the pageantry of color, and in a moment of time, they vanish. You know, our adventures are like that sometime, are they not? We plan and we scheme, and we go ahead without asking God what we ought to do. And when we do this, we're sure to run into trouble. And I do say this, that if you bring God into your life and ask him to take over in your plans, then all will be well. It is indeed sad today to see the differences that are in Christian homes, where husband and wife cannot move in harmony together. This is indeed a reproach to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give you three reasons why this should not happen. First of all, we know that God has forgiven us all our sins for Christ's sake. And then again, he has given unto us deliverance from the power of sin. Let us never forget, and if this truth were remembered, I'm sure there would be less trouble in our domestic lives, if this truth were remembered, that the body of sin which is in us, which we have inherited because of Adam's transgression, we remember that it still remains within us. At conversion, God did not remove it. It is still within us. And this is the source of jealousy, pride, and domination by the will, and so on. And these things come out in our daily lives, and they cause gloom and disaster in domestic life. And so if we recognize that this nature has not been changed, we'll be on the right track. I would that every young believer would accept this truth and act upon it throughout their life. Because it's so true. I have been a Christian for many years now, but I know this, that my old nature is just the same. Just the same as the day when I was converted. God did not change my heart. He gave me a new nature altogether. The divine nature, which is controlled by the Spirit of God. And every believer has two natures within, the old nature and the divine nature. And they're like two birds. One of them says, feed me, and the other says, feed me. And it's all over to you, the exercise of your will, whether you will obey the word of God. Oh, my friends, we know this from the word of God, that God has not delivered us from the presence of sin, but he will deliver us from its power. So it matters not how many times a day we may be tempted, the Lord is able to deliver us. Because of the wonderful scripture in this precious book, and it reads like this, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. So in domestic life, when things are inclined to go wrong, they start up here in the mind, when the devil implants the thought, or your own nature suggests something. You want to establish your will. You're going to be in control of the situation, and so on. That's the time to lift your heart unto the Lord and say, Lord, control my lips. Keep my will from exercising its authority in the wrong way. And believe me, the Lord will help you day by day, moment by moment. He's ready to give you that needed strength that will help you to overcome. You know, in the International Code of Signals, they have quite a number of flags, and they have what they call a single hoist. And when the flag goes up, it has a special message. And the flag which indicates the letter X gives out this message. Stop carrying out your own intentions and watch for my signals. Ah, that's a good message, isn't it? A good spiritual message. Stop carrying out your own plans and let God have his way with you. So often we reverse the order, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We direct our own paths and then expect God to bless them. Ah, no, we must surrender our will so that he may have full control in our lives. I remember reading a book at one time, God Runs My Business, by Letourneau. Letourneau was one of the pioneers of earth-moving machinery. And in his earlier days, he found employment in a garage. He enjoyed working with car engines. And one day his employer said to him, look, I'm going out for a while, I'll leave you in charge. And after a little while, the phone rang. And Letourneau answered, and there was a very fiery gentleman at the other end. He says, come, can you send someone out to fix my car? I'm in great trouble and I have to get to a certain place at a certain time. Will you come and help me? So Letourneau, he responded by closing the shop, and away he went with his tools. And when he arrived at the spot, here was this big, corpulent gentleman trying to get his car to go. And he couldn't manage it. When he looked at Letourneau, he says, young fellow, you're not going to touch my car. He thought he had no experience to deal with his engine. But in the meantime, he pressed on and tried. It was in the days when they had to use the crank to start the engine. And he cranked and he cranked and he cranked. And the perspiration flowed down his cheeks. And young Letourneau, in the meantime, he eyed the engine and he located the carburetor and so on. And after a while, the gentleman became so exasperated, he threw the crank handle down on the ground. He says, here, son, you have a go. And so Letourneau very quietly moved towards the engine and took part of the carburetor to pieces. And there he found a blocked jet. Well, in no time, he had the things back again. And he took the crank, and the first upward pull on the crank, and the engine started. Oh, he was first favorite with our gentleman friend. He says, look, son, if my car breaks down again, you're the boy that's going to fix it for me. Oh, he was really happy. When I read that story, I thought, yes, that man could have nothing done for his car until he reached one point. And it was this. To come to the end of his will. And he threw the crank down onto the ground and said, son, you have a go. Ah, the Lord allows us so often to go on our ways until we come to desperation's point and say, Lord, I can't go any further. What shall I do? And then he steps in. He always lets us go to our weakest point. And then he demonstrates his wonderful power and wisdom in our lives. Oh, my friend, if we commit our ways unto the Lord, we shall find our domestic life will be crowned with his glory, and his spirit will keep us level, and we will have differences. We do have differences in our home life, do we not? But I tell you this, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is all sufficient. Never forget, my grace is sufficient for thee. And when we feel as though we want to give way to these temptations, just clasp the hands or raise the voice to him. Say, Lord, help me. And he'll always do it. Oh, my friends, you can be more than conqueror through him that loved us. If you observe this signpost and commit your way unto the Lord. It is indeed very profitable to just bring everything to him and let him see everything. Lay it out before the Lord. You remember how Hezekiah did that. He laid out the letter before the Lord so the Lord could see it. He could see it all the time. He knows all about you. He knows your thoughts. He knows the words you're going to speak. He knows the actions you're going to perform. So it's better to let him run the business, is it not? And when you're going to enter into any particular venture, go to the Lord. Do you know, there's one word in our Christian vocabulary that sometimes people use which should not be there, and it's the word disappointment. There's no disappointment for a Christian, because if we bring a matter to the Lord, tell him about it, and ask him to work it out, we must always say, if the Lord will. And when we do that, if the thing does not come to pass, or it does come to pass, we can praise him, and there's no disappointment in the life. James stresses this, it's very important. And I'm afraid that we Christians do forget this particular aspect of truth. James says there, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we shall go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor which appeareth for a little while, then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall do this or that. Ye rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So, friends, you can see that when we boast of what we're going to do in the future, if we're Christians, and we leave out, if the Lord will, well, then there is the possibility of being brought into that state of despondency, which will be no testimony for our Lord and the Saviour, Jesus Christ. Then we come to our fourth signpost of encouragement. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. All this waiting patiently, we're creatures of impatience, are we not? So we see a thing, we want it immediately. And this is the way that human nature expresses itself. But to rest in the Lord means complete relaxation of mind and heart in his divine presence. Oh, it's wonderful to have a mind of perfect peace with God. Just to put your head down on your pillow at night and know that the Lord is with you. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Have you got this rest of mind, my dear friend? If not, why not? It's here in the book, and the Lord is in the glory. He's there at God's right hand, and he's willing to impart to you his wonderful grace and his wisdom and his knowledge. You know, sometimes we get in the way, don't we? We get in the way and we cannot find rest. I remember after completing the mission work in which my wife and I were engaged, because of certain circumstances beyond our control, I had to give up that work. And I moved into a bookstore, and that was very pleasant to me because I love books. And I used to enjoy talking to people about books and recommending them according to their spiritual problems. And then later on, I worked in the Jewish Evangelical Witness. And that was a great time of blessing, doing personal work with the Jewish people. And then another step forward, and I found myself in a factory with Christian friends. So that wasn't too bad. But I had to give it up because of the dust that was in the place. Then came the moment when God's time had come to move me into the sphere where he wanted to test me. And I went to an engineering shop, and that's just what I spent my time at in my early days. I learned the metal fitting, turning, and so on, but I didn't like it. And when the door opened for me to go into this place, I was rebellious. I didn't like it. I didn't want to go there. And although I could see there was no other way out, I went into that factory, and day after day, all the rebellion in my soul, I hated it. I didn't like it a bit. And so the days went by, and my spiritual life began to ebb. And I found this, that my joy in the Lord was not like it used to be. And I could see what I was doing. I was rebelling against the Lord. He had put me there for a definite purpose. And so I laid down my weapons of rebellion by His grace. And I said, Lord, not my will, but Thy will be done. Do you know what He was doing? He was teaching me to live for Him day by day and to lift my heart in prayer for grace to meet that very need of dislike in that factory. And day after day this went on, and I enjoyed the will of God in this place, which naturally I did not want to have anything to do. And do you know how long the Lord kept me there? Day after day, just trusting Him, 16 years. Now, if you had told me that I was going to stay in that factory for 16 years, well, I feel sure my mind would have collapsed, because I did not like the idea of it. But you see, the moment I rested in the Lord, the moment that I found in Him the place of rest and said, not my will, but Thy will be done, a calm and a peace came into my life. And though there were many troubles and difficulties during the day, His grace was all sufficient. All my friends, these signposts of encouragement, they do bring to us that spiritual desire to walk with the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord and rest in the Lord. And when we do that, we do these things daily by the grace of God, we shall find that we shall grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A great spiritual teacher of the last century penned for us four grand thoughts, and they're worth remembering, they're worth hiding within the heart, and here they are. Number one, God makes a promise. Number two, faith believes it. Number three, hope anticipates it. And number four, patience waits quietly for it. Oh, my friends, yes, you can hand over to the Lord and know this, that He will guide you aright. He knows all about you. And when you know your Father is planning your way, you can move on with confidence, knowing that you will be more than conqueror through Him that loved you and gave Himself for you.